Thank God for that. Well, I was all set to preach a message this morning to end up my series of sermons on faith. And I preached it on the plane to Dr. Queen. And when I got home, God changed all that. Isn't it amazing how God does that? And he kept telling me that he wanted me to preach upon the call of God. The call of God. I was there and saw those 24 missionaries who had received the call of God. Dr. Ronnie Floyd, the new executive director of the Southern Baptist Convention, preached that night. And he talked to the missionaries and said they were stepping into their missionary call. And they were stepping into that call from God. They were compelled by the Spirit. It was a divine mandate. They were going to be stepping into change. Nothing will ever be the same again. And that's true for the Washer family. And by the way, when you step into Jesus, nothing will be the same again. Because I don't know about you, my Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So they're going to be stepping into the unknown, just like Abraham stepped into the unknown. He went not knowing. They believed God. The call of God did not, the call of God, here's what he, and I quote him, the call of God did not take you there. If the call of God did not take you there, the call of God will not keep you there. And by the way, that's so true. But you're stepping into your call. And then he talked about Jeremiah 1, how God called Jeremiah. You're appointed for this purpose. You're created for this moment, he said. God's destiny for your life. You're stepping into and from people you love. And you're stepping away from your own control and your own security. That'll preach, by the way. I'll probably preach that one day. This morning, if you have a copy of the Bible, though, let's go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. I want to look this morning at the first call of missionaries that we find in the Bible, as we know that Philip went down to Samaria, but don't forget, he said in Acts 1, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. By the way, these are the words of Jesus. We don't need to be talking about sports. We don't need to be talking about the weather. We don't need to be talking about the politics. We need to be talking about Jesus. And he said, you will go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then to the uttermost part of the earth. They were going to say, and I'm sure they're saying, well, how will that be accomplished? We're here in Jerusalem. How we take the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. But you and I well know in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came in permanence, there were people from all over the world there. They were hearing the gospel that Peter preached. And he told them they had to repent and turn away from their sin. They had to believe that Jesus died. He preached a great sermon. He preached about how Jesus died, how he was buried, how he rose again. And he preached about how they can put their trust in Jesus alone for salvation. And we know that day it says 3,000 souls were saved. That's a pretty good day, amen. Boy, you are excited this morning, I can tell. I tell you, you know, I might preach Acts 12 if y'all can't. Here we go. I don't know about you, I'm excited today. Two missionaries from Texas only, and they're from Lane Prairie Baptist Church. That ought to excite y'all. If it doesn't, something's wrong with your heart. I can tell you that right now. Something's wrong with your heart. That doesn't excite you. Excites me. But in Acts chapter 13, we see the church setting apart two men to go what we would call to the uttermost part of the earth. And their names were Paul and Silas. Okay? And we know that Paul's name is Saul, but he's going to have a name change. But look at it with me in chapter 13, verse 1. Now there was in the church that was in Antioch. Remember, it was at Antioch they were first called what? Christians. Okay? Certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that were was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had brought up with the Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. And this is the start of what we call the first missionary journey that the Apostle Paul's going to go on with Barnabas. We know the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas go. We know that John Mark went with them, but he came back early. On the second missionary journey, Paul says, "We're not going to take John Mark." He quit. And Barnabas said, remember, Barnabas was the son of encouragement. He says, "Oh, we're going to take him." So he says, "Okay, you take Silas." So Paul took Silas, and Barnabas took John Mark, and God doubled the work, okay? But we see the call of God. May I tell you today that the call of God is personal. The Holy Spirit said to the believers at Antioch, "Separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the particular task that I have sent them for." They had fasted, they had prayed, they had sought the Lord. And think about this. There were other people there in this prayer meeting. There were other people in this situation. But the Holy Spirit is the one who set aside them. The call of God is a call that's serious. And I want you and I to know that the God who called them is the God who calls us. Why are the worshipers going to the missionary field? To Madagascar, right there, Africa. It's an island to itself. It's not easy to be there. Everything's different. There's a lot of things they can't get. The electricity's different. Everything's different. Why did they go there? Because they had a call of God. And listen, here's what God, boy, I tell you what, I was preaching a sermon about 3 o'clock this morning, and God just kept giving it to me. But you know what I've discovered in the Bible? God has always called his people. You ever notice that? God has always called his people. From the very beginning of time, guess what? God called Noah to build that gigantic boat, that ark. He had an obeying faith. And the Bible says in Genesis 6:8 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God used him. He was obedient to the call of God. Abraham, the father of faith, was called by God in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to him, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and go from thy father's house, and I will show you." He didn't even tell him where he was going, but he had a call of God, and he followed that call. He said to him, "I want you to take your son, a promise, up to the mount," in Genesis 22, "and I want you to sacrifice him." He answered the call of God. He went. He was prepared to sacrifice his very son. But guess what? God had a better plan. God provided a ram. Remember, he built an altar in that place and called it Jehovah Yireh, the Lord who provides. And the God who provided for Abraham in the call is the God who provide for you in the call and for me in the call. We're called of God, not of man. And I want you to know that's very important. I learned that early in my ministry. I remember when I was ordained back in 1975 by First Baptist Church of Joshua, you know, they had this ordination council, and they all try to ask you all these tough questions about what you know and what you don't know. And they'll ask you about your eschatology. They'll ask you about what you think about the Word of God. What do you think about the plan of salvation? They'll ask you a lot of questions. And one of them always says, "Well, let me ask you a question. If we decide today not to ordain you, what would you do?" That's a pretty tough question, isn't it? But you know what I told them? I said, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not called of you. I'm called of God. And if God's called me, I'm going to go." And by the way, that's the right answer. Because see, we're not called of the church. We're called of God. And you're called of God also. The God who called Noah and Abraham, just think about it. God called Joseph. Remember, Joseph was sold by his own brothers into slavery. He could have been bitter, but he was better. And he goes over there and ends up at Potiphar's house, and she makes a pass at him, his wife, ends up in jail for 13 years, and he does the interpretation of dreams. But at the end of it all, in Genesis 50:20, when he sees his brothers who sold him into slavery when they were looking for food because there was going to be famine in the land, and God sent him to prepare them for famine there. And when his brothers came to get food, he said to his brothers in Genesis 50:20, "You meant it for my bad, but God meant it for my good, that much people would be saved." God always has that call. God calls Moses. Remember Moses? Moses had to be taught how to be humbled. He had a be something degree because he was raised in Pharaoh's house. He had all the greatest education and everything going on. But one day he saw one of the Egyptians hitting one of the Israelites, and he decided to take things in his own hand. He killed him. The only problem is he buried him in the sand. That wasn't very bright, by the way, because sand blows, you know, and they found a dead man, and they found out about Moses. Moses headed, and he went on the backside of a mountain. He was 40 years old at this time. He ends up on the backside of that mountain with Jethro, his father-in-law, and he's going to spend 40 years there. At 80 years old, he sees the burning bush, and the Lord says, "Hey, you're on holy ground. You better get your shoes off, because I'm here." And he felt the presence of God. And in Exodus chapter 4, he kept saying, Lord, I just can't speak. Who will say that I went?" And he says, "What's that in your hand, Moses?" He says, "A rod." He said, "Throw it down." And it became a snake. Now, I don't know about you. I would have done a little running at that time. I don't like snakes. I don't know about you. I like snakes. But then God says, "I want you to pick it up by the tail." And he picked it up, and it became the rod. If you follow the scripture, it became the rod of God. May I ask you a question this morning? What's that in your hand? What's that in your hand? Is it a talent that you're not using it to the glory of God? Is it a gift that God's given you that you smothered and pushed back and pushed back? I'm going to tell old Brother Jeff this morning. Where are you, Brother Jeff? Over there. Yeah. See, he was in our church for about, probably a couple of years before he had sing. We kept trying to get him to sing. He said, "Why don't you sing on the fifth Sunday?" "Well, I'll do it," and he'd cancel. Well, the problem is he wasn't saved. When he got saved, he got that worked out, didn't you, Brother Jeff? And boy, can he sing, amen? If you've ever been here, you know he can sing. He filled in. I mean, Brother Jake better be on his toes, kind of like me. Every time I'm gone, there's a whole lot better preacher than me here. But I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful again we're called of God. But God used Moses to deliver the people. Israel was called across the Jordan, but in Numbers 13 and 14, because of their unbelief, they did not answer the call, and that generation died out. Listen to me. Don't reject the call of God. Don't let unbelief keep you from doing what God's called you to do. Thank God Joshua received the call. He led the children of God into the promised land. Joshua chapter 1, the Lord said in Joshua 1:5, "I will be with you. If you will obey me, I'll be with you. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee." Judges, in the book of Judges, God's calling God's people. Gideon received the call. Aren't you glad he did? He had to deliver the children of Israel from the Midianites. And he had too big of an army. He had 135,000 men. There were so many in his army, and then there was 135,000 Israelites. There were 32,000 against 135,000. God says, "I want you to give an invitation. Tell everybody if they want to go home, they can go home. They must have been Baptists because 22,000 of them went home." They said, "We're going to take the day off. See you later." They took the day off. They see you later. He says, "Okay, I've got 10,000 left. God, what do I do?" And God says, "I want you to go down to the water." And everyone who gets down and brings the water up to their mouth and watches for the enemy, those are who I want you to take. He's down to 300 men against 135,000 Midianites. Listen to me. When God calls you, he will equip you to do what you need to do. Gideon was just threshing wheat. That's all he's doing. He's trying to hide his crop from the Midianites who had taken everything for the children of Israel. Read about that in Judges 6, 7, and 8. But they went in there in groups of 100, 300 here, 100 here, 100 here. He gave them a pitcher that they could break. He gave them a trumpet, and he gave them a light. They were to break the pitcher, and that was a symbol of our brokenness. God, listen to me. God will never use you until you're broken. Moses had to end up on the backside of that mountain and get broken. Peter had to be broken because he betrayed Christ, but God restored him in John 21. You got to be broken for God will use you. And they were broken, and he was broken there, and they broke the pitcher. They blew the trumpet. It was a sound of victory for them, and they shined the light. That's what we're to do. We're to blow the trumpet of victory. We're to be broken, and we're to shine the light of the Lord. And guess what? The Midianites killed each other. You say, are you telling me the truth here? Isn't that kind of unusual, Brother Jerry, reading the Bible? I wish I had time to tell you about David, how God called David to kill the giant, and he didn't kill him, God did. How about Elijah and Elisha? How about Jeremiah? The Lord said, I had my hand on you in your mother's womb. Nehemiah was called to build the walls back that were broken down, and in 52 days, they rebuilt the walls. How about the disciples, Peter, James, and John? How about John as he's there 90 to 95 years old on the Isle of Patmos, and he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and God gave him the book of Revelation. That call is personal. What is God calling you to do this morning? God's call is very personal, and we must understand that. Secondly, not only is the call of God personal, the call of God is purposeful. Notice what he says here in the scripture. Go back with it. And they ministered to the Lord, verse 2, fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me. That word separate in the Greek word is a very interesting word. It's the same Greek word that was used in Galatians 1:15 when Paul said this, God set me apart from birth and called me from my mother's womb. Now think about that. In case you don't know it, according to Psalm 139, God had his hand on you in your mother's womb. You know that? You are wonderfully and marvelously made, but you're made for a purpose. You're made for a reason. God is the one who's called you. God is the one who's given you purpose. And by the way, each of us have a purpose on our life, and we need to understand that that's what God's called us to do. Every one of us here in this place have a calling. We can't all be pastors. We can't all be evangelists. But we all can be servants. We can all serve somewhere, some way. In fact, every member of Lane Prairie Baptist Church ought to be doing something. Amen? And that just stand at the front door over there and open the door every time someone comes. You know? Serving on a committee. Helping with our good news clubs. Boy, they start this week. You know, we couldn't do four. We're doing four elementary schools. We're doing them for 6 weeks. We couldn't do that without a volunteer army. Without people feeling called and they have a purpose in their life. The purpose is they want to pour Jesus into children that are in elementary school. Yes, Joshua Schools let us go into the school after school and after school program called the Good News Club, and we get to share Bible stories and we get to share the good news about Jesus Christ. Now, that excites you right there, folks. Not every school would do that. I'm thankful for the Joshua Schools that allow us to do that. May I tell you today that our call is purposeful. We are set apart. You know the word that the word hagios is in the Greek language means holy, but it's twofold. I want you to hear this. We are set apart from sin, but we're set apart for God. Do you hear that? In other words, that's a purpose. God has a purpose. A lot of us quote Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus for good works, that we would be ordained by them, folks. In other words, God didn't call you just to come and sit around. He called you to serve him. Our purpose, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And that word for temple, there's two different Greek words for temple. It's the word for Holy of Holies. You have the Holy Spirit, who is the one that asked the early church to set apart Paul and Barnabas. He lives in you if you're a believer today. And I want to tell you what, he's calling you to do something. He's calling you to share the gospel. He's calling you to love people. He's calling you to be a servant of the Most High. Whatever that calling is, it is purposeful, and you must answer that call. We're set apart for God. Thirdly, not only is our calling personal and purposeful, our calling is practical. Notice what he says here. He says, set apart. They ministered and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. Set apart. It's practical, for which he called them. The ministry is work, folks. May I tell you today, God hadn't called us to sit around. As one person has said, and I quote them, do not wear out the seats of your pants on pews or chairs, but wear out the soles of your feet to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I think too many of us have been sitting around too long. It's time for us to get up and go. Every time I read the commandment of the Lord, it never says sit, it says go. It doesn't ever say delay, it says go. It doesn't say quit, it says go. It doesn't say sit down because you're older now and you're retired. You can sit around. No, I tell you what, Moses was 80 years old. You remember Caleb was 85 years old whenever they took the land. He says, I want the land of the Anakims, the land of the giants. I don't want a rocking chair. I want the land of the giants. And listen to me today, senior adults. I want you to know God will use you until he comes again or until he calls you home if you make yourself available to him. Do you believe that? Say, now, Brother Jerry, I don't have what I used to have. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have what I used to have. Back when I was a young pastor, when I was at Boyd Baptist Church, remember we do prison ministry now, and when I was at Boyd Baptist Church, I would go out to the prison, and I'd preach a message at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'd come back to my church and preach a 10:45 message at Boyd Baptist Church. I'd go back out to prison and preach a 2 o'clock service at the prison, and then I'd go back to the church and preach a 6 o'clock service. Now, I'm not a good counter, but that I think that's 4 times a day. And I preach just like this. I was worn out, but God gave me more strength. I'll tell you what, maybe I don't have the strength I had used to have, but that doesn't mean God can't use me. God can use you. It's his strength we go on, not our strength. Guess what? In a couple of weeks, we're going to have Good News Clubs going strong, and we're going to start seeing kids come to Christ, and we're going to need you to go in homes and to visit with the parents. I had a guy at the meeting we went to Thursday night tell me a great suggestion. This is what we're going to do. Whenever kids meet the Lord, we're going to go visit the parents in the home, and we're going to take a pamphlet about being a new Christian, becoming a new Christian. And we're going to take that and we're going to go over it with the parents, and we're going to share with the parents what their child has done, and we're going to ask the parents, will you work with this through this with them? And as they work through this with them, some of the parents are going to meet the Lord. Hello? Hello? They are. But guess what? We're going to need you to help us. We can't do it with 4 or 5 people that come to you to visitation normally. We're going to need 20, 25, 30 people to go. And we're going to have to go out there and love people. We're going to have to go out there and share them that your child has made the greatest decision they've ever made. Every member is to be a servant. Then lastly, not only is the call of God personal, purposeful, practical, it's providential. Notice what he says here in the text. He says, for the work whereunto I have called them. Did you catch that? To which I've called them. By the way, you know what that is? That's in the perfect tense in the Greek language. It's something in the mind of God completed in ages past that's being accomplished today in his church. Now, I tell you something, God's looking for a church that will answer the call. God is looking for a church who will listen to what God says and says, hey, here am I. Just like Isaiah of old in Isaiah chapter 6, what did he say? Here am I, Lord, send me. Now we like to say, here am I, Lord, send him. But I'm going to tell you what, it's time for us to step up. It's time for us to get up. It's time for us to move. It's time for us to do what God's called us to do. I believe in the coming years, God's going to bless this church greater than he's ever blessed it before. And by the way, if you have a problem with that, you don't have a problem with me, you have a problem with God. Don't, I'm going to say this right now, God told me to say it. Don't have a negative spirit. Don't reject what God's doing. You say, well, why should I not do that? Well, you don't mess with God. You don't mess with God's people. You say, how do you know that? Go back to chapter 12. Look at it with me. Verse 21. And upon the set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God, not of a man. And immediately, don't miss this, the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten with worms and gave up the ghost. Hello. Now, how many of you want to be eaten with worms this morning? I didn't see anybody raise their hand. That's good. So if you have a positive attitude, if you don't take God's glory, if you're not negative about our church, every time something good happens, you're always, I'm glad I'm not on Facebook, by the way, because I'd be reading some of you people's snide remarks. And they're out there. I've had people put me on Facebook. I tell you what, isn't it great to be on Facebook? Of course, most of the time I'm on Facebook, it isn't a good thing. But I'm going to tell you what, until Jesus comes, I'm going to keep preaching this word without compromise. And I'm going to keep doing what God's called me to do. And see, you don't have to like me. I'm concerned about pleasing him. You know? Now, if you like me, that's all right. I'm not a bad guy. Really, I'm not. My wife loves me. She's been with me almost 48 years. You say, how does she do that? By the grace of God. The call of God is personal, purposeful, practical, providential. And it's God who's the one who calls man, not us. The washers are gone because they've received the call of God. We're going to have a commissioning service for them, by the way. It's going to be a great time. They're going to get to share a little bit more about what they're going to be doing. Washer's going to be sending us videos back from Madagascar. We talked about that the other night. We're going to be showing them in our services kind of some of the things they're doing. And they're going to be sending us specific requests. We're going to be praying for Washer and Kristen. We're going to be praying for Silas and Addie. We're going to be praying for them specifically. And we're going to be helping them every way we can. And God's going to honor our church. Why? Because when other people find out about that, other missionaries are going to want to come to our church. And they're going to be a sending missionary from our church. Because they know we take care of our own. And we will, and we always will. Well, let's ask the question this morning. What about the call of God on your life? This is what gave me, I wrote it down in my notes in my phone about 3:30 this morning. First of all, I believe God calls people to salvation. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I'm asking you not to walk out those doors without accepting Jesus. You say, well, this is the first time I've ever been here. Doesn't matter if you've been here one time, 10 times, or 100 times. What you need to know is this. The Bible says that God loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the Bible says also that we are sinners. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every one of us in this room, including this pastor, we're sinners. We cannot save ourselves. And what sin does is it separates us from God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's like you were on this side, God was on this side, and you were apart from God because of your sin. But I've got good news. He made a way. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love for us, and while we were yet sinners, you see this cross? Christ died for us, folks. He died for you this morning. He loves you so much. So what do you need to do? Well, you got to believe that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. Okay? You got to believe that with all your heart. Secondly, you got to be willing to repent. That means change, like going this direction. I repent of my sins. I turn from my sins, and I turn to God, and I place my life in his hands. And you got to, the Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, that you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. You got to declare that he is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved. And Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, the call of salvation is for everyone here this morning. I'm going to invite you in a moment to come take a pastor by the hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need Jesus more than I need my next breath. And you just come down here. We're going to share with you. We'll explain to you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about religion. You're not going to be saved by being baptized. You're not going to be saved by your good works. You're going to be saved by Christ and Christ alone. He made the way. Secondly, the call of God for some today is a call of service. Some of you have been riding the bench. It's time for you to get in the game. It's time for you to get on the field. You're not to be a spectator. You're to be a participator. And you can do something. You say, what can I do? Well, you come, we'll find something for you. You can do something in the kingdom. Serve the Lord with gladness. He's the one who calls us, not us. He calls us. Answer the call of God this morning to service. And then last, answer the call of God to obedience. Those three words God gave me at 3:30. We got to be obedient. What are we obedient to? This right here. The Word of God. We're obedient to the Word of God. And when we're obedient to the Word of God, God does great things. I remember as a young man, I close with this. I remember as a young man, I was a student at Dallas Baptist College. I was working for Safeway in Duncanville. That's where I met Andrew. She is at First Baptist Church Duncanville. We met at church. That's a good place to meet a Christian woman, by the way. Church is not a bad place at all. That's the best place, by the way. And she loved the Lord, and she was there in the church. And, you know, I talked to the manager there at Safeway, and I know I'm a little over, so don't get nervous. It's almost over. But I talked to the Safeway manager. I'll never forget his name, Mr. Sisk. And Mr. Sisk, I went to him. I said, hey, I'll be a good employee for you. I'll work all the time you want to work, but I'm not going to work on Sunday. I'm going to work on Sunday because God's called me to the ministry when I was in high school, and I'm going to be at church on Sunday. I'm going to worship with God's people Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I asked if I could be off on Wednesday night, be there for Wednesday night. But he said, okay, I agree with that. And I apparently did pretty good because all the guys he didn't like, it was a union back then. I didn't know that they forced me to join the union. They kept coming up to me saying, you are going to join the union, aren't you, young man? I said, what is it? I didn't even know what the union was, by the way. I was from Brownsville, Texas. I didn't know what the union was. But for long, everybody he didn't like, he just kept moving hours down. He moved down to 2 hours a week. They had to quit because, you know, the union wouldn't let them fire them, so they had to quit because they didn't have enough hours. My hours kept increasing. In the summertime, I was working 40 hours a week as the assistant produce manager, making great money, but guess what? Mr. Sis came up to me and said, Jerry, I need you to work this Sunday, only this Sunday. And guess what? I said, Mr. Sis, you remember our agreement? I'm not going to work on Sunday. He says, well, I guess you know what that means. I said, yes, sir, I know what that means. I went and got my card. I punched out. I walked out of there, and within a month, I was at the first church I served. Amen? See, God was calling me out of my comfort zone. And by the way, I was making a whole lot more money at Safeway than I did the first church. I was 19 years old, made $40 a week, took home 32 of it. Man, I thought I was rich, but I mean, I was making better money than that, Safeway. But every time God called me, I tried to follow that call. From there, I went to Edgemont Park Baptist Church. I went from Edgemont Park Baptist Church to West Illinois Baptist. I was an associate pastor, did everything. It's one of them, you do everything. I drove the bus, I did a bus ministry, I did the youth, I did the children. God allowed me to do that, praise Him. But I'm going to tell you what, then God called me to my first full-time job at First Baptist Church of Joshua, Texas. And some of you were there when I was called there. I'm looking at some of you right now. I've known you for 46 years. I was 22 years old, by the way. 22. You say, you're too young. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You're never too young in God's kingdom. He told Timothy, do not let them despise your youth. And I'll never forget, I was there 3.5 years. The pastor left. I was 26 years old about that time. Because I turned 23. But I was 22, I turned 23 2 weeks later after I got to First Baptist Church Joshua. My birthday's in January. I was 26 years old, and the pulpit committee, and some of you were on that. You know what I'm talking about, Bill and Jeanette Hollingsworth. Y'all were on there. You're responsible for this. But they called me to be pastor. 26 years old, I'd never pastored. I had 20 hours still to go in my Master of Divinity degree at seminary, but God called me. And the God who calls us equips us. And I'm thankful for every single church that gave me an opportunity. Because, see, when God calls, you got to answer. Sometimes God called me. He called me from a church in Waco running about 400 to a mission church in Carrollton running 35 people. A lot of my pastor friends thought I was crazy or that Andrew and I were having problems. Seriously, I'm not joking there. They thought, well, surely he's in trouble. He's going to a smaller church now. I came to a smaller church when I came here. Doesn't matter. When you have God's call and you follow God's call, God will take care of the rest. Now, some of you need to come today to salvation, the call of God. God, you feel that tug in your life right now? That's the Holy Spirit. He's tapping you right on the shoulder, and He's the one that draws you. He's the one that says, you need Jesus. Some of you are being called to service. There might be someone here today, Brother Washer, that's being called to the mission field. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That says, I feel a God a call to go to mission field. I feel God to go somewhere. Maybe God's calling you. Maybe He's calling you to service at Lane Prairie Baptist Church. Or maybe He's calling you to obedience. Let's stand together. Everyone stand at this time. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing, and I'm going to invite you all over this auditorium to come. Answer the call of God this morning. Some of you need to join this church today. The call of God to church membership. You've been visiting for a while, and you believe this is where God wants you to be, you just come on down and join with our church today by statement or by letter. Just come on. Do that today.